First Thessalonians is where we'll be today. We're continuing our series on this book, walking through this book together. The Thessalonians, a church preparing for eternity. And that should be the truth about every single local church. We should all be preparing for eternity. Folks, we understand that this life here on earth, it's but a vapor. It's but a vapor. And everything we do from the time we get saved, from the time that God calls us home, everything you say, everything you do, the motivation behind it is preparing for how you will live out your eternal life. You don't hear that preached and taught very often, brethren, but it's biblical. It's biblical. Jesus talks about it, teaches about it all the time. Now, you know, we don't believe in working our way to heaven. We don't believe that at all. We believe it is through Jesus and Jesus alone. But I'm telling you, there's something to be said. The Bible says much about how Christians will live out that eternity based upon how they lived that short span called life here on earth. The Thessalonians truly give us an example. They were not a perfect church. There is no such thing. You know, that's what God is doing right now. He is perfecting. He's maturing His church, His bride. And one day He will come get His bride. And I'm looking forward to that day. And the Thessalonians were looking forward to that day. And Paul is encouraging them in that way. Well, let's look there in our text. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Last week, in the AM service, we looked at verses 1 and 2. In the PM evening service, we looked at verses 3 through 6. This morning, I'd like to go ahead and start verse 7, and I don't know how far we'll get, but the passage, really, the context of the message is verses 7 through 12. So let's read that, and let's look at this together. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7. But we were gentle among you, Paul says, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because ye were dear unto us. For ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you. We preached unto you the gospel of God. Ye are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. As ye know, how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as the Father doth His children, that ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto His, unto His kingdom and glory. With God's help, this morning I want to preach a message to you entitled this: Paul's parental metaphors in caring for the church. Paul's parental metaphors in caring for the church. He uses the mother and father both as an illustration of how he ministered to this local church when he arrived in Thessalonica. An example that we all should seek to emulate. An example not only that we should emulate in ministering, but also even as a local church, that we should understand that this is such a blessing for us to even be a part of God's family in a local church where we can grow and serve the Lord is a blessing. May God help us. Let's pray. Lord, I do commit myself to You. I count it a privilege, O God, a gift of grace from You to be able to be here among my brothers and sisters. And I, Lord, am humbled by this passage. And I pray that You would use it in a very special and unique way as we look at Your Word. I pray that we would set aside, Lord, all distractions. And God, that we would just give a laser focus upon Your Word, upon the work of Your Spirit through this message. Lord, no doubt we're all facing different situations in our life. And I'm just going to pray, Lord, because You're the only one that can do it. No matter what the situation is, Lord, I pray that somehow, some way, You will use today's message to encourage hearts. Every person here. Oh God, only You can do that. So we commit it to You. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Isn't it interesting how Paul uses various kinds of illustrations in his letters? One that you'll notice very quickly as you read the epistles is Paul, I believe, he liked sports. I can't prove to you that he played any, but if you'll follow his teachings, he used the Olympic Games and the competitions of running and wrestling and whatnot that he used often to illustrate truth, to give us an understanding that how we can relate to it. And he does that. Another illustration that he uses often is the family. As he teaches the truth that God has put on his heart. And God, listen, there's, understand, I know you believe this. The Lord wants us to know His truth more than we want to know it. He is constantly working in our hearts and teaching us to know truth and to love truth. And of course, please don't leave this out, to live truth. And so He uses the family here. He uses the mother and father illustration. For what reason? Well, He gives us a good example. So I want to say, as I preach this message, it should be an encouragement to parents as well. Now, the context here is he is not teaching on parenting. Specifically in the context, he's probably teaching more on pastoring and people that are in leadership. But boy, there is so much application here for parents to draw from. But not only that, I believe here we see that here's a man that truly was burdened about what was being said about him. He was burdened because there were lies being told about his character, about basically his motivation. And though it doesn't appear that they really believed it, the Thessalonians, I didn't think, they didn't take the bait, it doesn't look like. But, however, he was warning them. And he explains there in the first part of chapter 2, we've already looked at it, he talked about the testimony of his coming. Through his entrance was in the power of the Holy Spirit. His entrance was coming from suffering there in Philippi. There was much contention all around him, but he didn't let it stop him because he wasn't there for fame. He wasn't there for finances. He was there for the gospel's sake. And these people saw that. In fact, we'll see in our passage today, he said this for the fourth time in verse 11. He says, "As ye know." As ye know. The fourth time, just so far in our passage, he says that because he's saying, church, you saw me when I came unto you. You saw my testimony. But then in verses 3-6, we looked at that in the evening service. And if you have an opportunity, please go back and listen to that. Because what I talked about is signs of a church in error. A church in error. And that's what he talked about in those verses. How do you know when a church is going astray? I preached on that Sunday night, so I'm not going to re-preach it, but I do want you to go back and listen to that. We have a podcast and also on our website, those messages you can download and listen to. But then he gives sort of the negative in that portion. You know, you got to have the negative and positive, right? He believed in that. And so what he did is first he said, let me tell you what I didn't do. I didn't come unto you in deceitfulness. I didn't come unto you unclean. I didn't come unto you with guile. I trusted God. I didn't come with you with flattering words. I didn't come unto you to be men pleasers. I didn't come with greed, a cloak of covetousness. He said, God is my witness. I didn't come for the glory. I came for the gospel. By the way, God has called us not to be celebrities, but servants. That's what we are as God's children. We're not here to build a kingdom. We're here to proclaim the gospel and let the Lord build His kingdom. God is doing the work and saving people and changing people. And God has called us to be servants in that. But then He says, all those things I am not. But this morning I want to preach on what He said, what I did do. I didn't come with the wrong motive. Let me tell you, let me describe unto you, Thessalonians, is what He's saying here, how I came unto you. So, as we see here, and even in verse 7, these verses are going to contrast the conduct of Paul and his team. And that's something we can't get away from, can we, church? When Paul writes this letter, you will see it. It is in the plural form. Each time he says it, he talks about we, us, our, O-U-R. He's always including Timothy, and he's always including Silas, because he's not a one-man show. And that's such an example to us, is it not? We are together as a family. We are ministering to this community together. We're contributing our gifts and our time and our talents to go out and reach this world for Jesus Christ. Amen? That's right. You sure are. And I'm thankful for you. And I praise God for you. So let's look at some of these examples here as we begin. Remember, he's given some contrast here compared to those wolves in sheep's clothing who were pretending to be real. Number one, if you're taking notes, we see he mentions the characteristic of gentleness. Gentleness. Notice what he says. He says, but, again, there's your contrast, but we were gentle among you. Now, this is very important for us to understand, because what he's saying here, and he describes it further, even as a nurse or a mother, a nursing mother, if you will, cherisheth her children. This speaks, when Paul came, he came with a closeness. He didn't come, you get around some people that claim to be servants of the Lord, and you almost perhaps think that you're not in their league, and you, maybe they're in a higher league, and you just can't get near them because of who they think they are. They give this vibe of I'm better than you. That's not what Paul had when he came. There was a genuine closeness. He wanted to be near to the people. There was a personal responsibility that he took for them, like a nursing mother. He's given this picture, this metaphor of a nursing mother holding the child near to herself. A closeness to cherish like a mother would a newborn babe, how a mother would do that. That's the language he's using. And in fact, it's interesting, even though the terminology there, cherisheth, it comes from the Greek word where we understand to keep warm, body warmth. And it's like, church, when I came unto you, I was right there with you. I was near to you. I was in your homes. I was helping you through this new step of faith that you're taking, walking with God. And that's the testimony that Paul was giving. He was genuinely concerned for their spiritual needs, just like a mother would be concerned for her baby, for her infant that was feeding. Listen, that is a wonderful testimony of Paul. And they knew that. Not only was he gentle in verse 7, but number 2, we see his affection. If you're taking notes, number 2, his affection for them. Notice what it says here. He says, after verse 7 and verse 8, he says, so being affectionately desirous of you. Let's say that together, church, that first part of verse 8. So being affectionately desirous of you. This is strong language. This is an affection for these precious people that was unsurpassed, could not be compared. This man of God and his team, they loved the Thessalonians. He's speaking for Timothy and Silas as well. And they it wasn't a duty to them. They were delighting to be with them, even though these people guaranteed guarantee, were rough around the edges. Remember the environment they were in? The pagan temples all around them? We've discussed that. We don't have to go into the vileness that was taking place in Thessalonica. But he's ministering these people, coming along them, being gentle and showing them that affection as a mother would towards her infant. It was unsurpassed. And notice this key word here. Don't miss it. It says we were willing in verse 8. We were willing. Now that word willing is a very strong word. You know what it speaks about? It says we were pleased to come to you. Paul's like, I want to tell you, Thessalonica, it was not just a duty, although there was duty involved. He said, we came because we wanted to. We delighted to be with you. Do you see the example that we have here? And even from a parent's perspective, yes, it's a duty, but at the same time, it should be a delight. Parenting and even serving in the local church. I hope you're not here this morning simply out of duty. Now, let's be fair about that. Sometimes we do come to church out of duty, because if you're like me, sometimes I'm your pastor and sometimes I don't feel like coming. And I come because it's my duty. I come because God said, God, you've called me here and I don't feel like it. But Lord, it's right. But there would be something real wrong if that was every Sunday. That'd be a problem. I want my testimony, and I hope your testimony is here, because primarily you're here because you delight to be here. You delight to be among God's people. You delight to hear the Word of God. You delight to sing the praises of God. You see, that is what God is, and Paul and the team was explaining to them. We are glad to be ministering unto you. There was an affection there. But number three, he talks about the sacrifice. He talks about the sacrifice that was made. Notice the second part of verse 8. He says, not only did we come unto you, we were delighted to come unto you to give you the gospel of God. He says, but also, notice the last part of verse 8, also our own souls, because you were dear unto us. What does that speak of, church? That speaks of sacrifice. That speaks of what Paul was saying, church. When we came in, Timothy, boy, and Silas, we were preaching the gospel. We loved you and we wanted to come and just get you the gospel so that we could see people saved and discipled. I hope you have a motivation like that. But he says, we didn't just come to preach the gospel. We came to give ourselves. Oh, God, help me to have that heart. Is that your prayer this morning? God, give me a heart that serves you, not just to serve with the gospel, which is the calling, but Lord, help me to do it with a heart. I just want to give myself to the people you've called me to. I hope you spouses, you married folks, have that same mentality towards your spouse. Lord, I want to be the right kind of spouse. I want to give myself completely unto this person. As a parent, oh God, I want to go to as far as I can. To love my children and to help them in this journey called life. As a church member, may God help you and help me. Lord, let me have opportunities to sacrifice. Even as a mother would her child, and as we're going to see, even as a dad would his child. We see that clearly in the context. Because you were very dear unto us. He loved them. There's a problem when people become simply numbers. There's a problem there. That's why I tell you, it scares me sometimes when I think of churches, mega churches, because the responsibility is even greater as a church grows. You know, because you get up into hundreds and even a thousand or whatever. That's what a sobering thought to think that, wow. We've got to give shepherd care to all of these people. Unless it's a church that doesn't care about shepherding and they just want your money and they want you to show up for a service and leave and they're happy with that. But that's not the New Testament church. You want a church that cares, a church that's near and seeks to be near And though we're not perfect at that, but every local church should be striving for that, even showing forth sacrifice. That's what Paul and his colleagues here demonstrated to the Thessalonians. He says, you saw it. We were going to give of ourselves, if that's what it meant. Then, not only do we see sacrifice, but then fourthly, we see dedication. Number four, dedication. Notice verse 9. It says, for ye remember, he's reminding them, for ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail. For laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you. We preached unto you the gospel of God. What is that teaching? That's teaching dedication. Paul is saying, look, you know that these wolves in sheep's clothing, they don't do that. They come in and do bare minimum. They take advantage of people and that's all you get. But he says, you didn't see that with me. He said, you saw me come in there, and though I was receiving a little bit of support from the church of Philippi, and the reason we know that is because he specifically gave reference in Philippians chapter 4. He says the church that he was commending the Philippians for help and support while he was in Thessalonica. So the Philippians had sent some support, but other than that, he was also a tent maker. He was working. So can you imagine the Apostle Paul? He's having devotions with families in the morning, perhaps throughout the day. But then he goes to the market. And he's working on tents, making tents and selling them and conversing with people. He's working hard. And then when he gets off work, clocks out, he's done for the day. He heads to someone's home where they got a bunch of believers gathered together for a prayer meeting. And he's teaching them about salvation. He's teaching them about prayer. He's teaching them about who God is and who Jesus is. He's just pouring into these people, perhaps up into midnight. You say he stayed up to that late preaching. Yes, because if you follow the word of God in the book of Acts, we know that even though there and when he was preaching to the Ephesians, he was preaching up past midnight. In fact, it says the name, I had it on the top of my head, who fell out of the window was basically died. But Paul got down there and prayed and raised him up. And then the Bible says he kept on teaching and preaching. So it wasn't uncommon for this man right here to day and night, they were doing that. There was dedication. Just like a mother would have for her child, there's dedication. A father for his child, there's dedication. I think about a mother and father, they spend their life for the sake of their children's well-being. I'm glad for my parents. I'm thankful, though there were things they did, I questioned, especially as a teenager or whatever. But listen, looking back on life, my parents provided for me. They provided a very nice home for me to live in. They sacrificed. My dad worked a job. He was an insurance salesman. And I remember all the time he put into that. My mom worked in the bank and she worked throughout the week. They worked hard. And you know what they were doing, and you know this, many of you that are not retired are still working, and even if you're at a stay-at-home mom, you're working a full-time job as well. But here's the thing, you are spending your life for the well-being of others. You've dedicated your life, and let me just say this, young people, I know you know this, but thank your parents often for how they provide for you. The food that you have, the meals that you eat, the vacations you take, the clothes that you wear, the bedroom you have, the bed you have to sleep on. Thank God for parents that provide physically, but also that bring you to church and try to invest in you spiritually and give of their lives as seeking to invest. And that's what Paul's spirit was here. He says, listen, I'm not looking for glory. I'm not looking for a pat on the back. But I want to tell you, I have dedicated to you, Thessalonians. And it's a reminder to me. It's a reminder to you, I'm sure. But especially as a leader, I'm thinking about you deacons and Sunday school teachers. I'm thinking about my own heart and all you leaders in here. Do we have a spirit of dedication? Let's just go forth at all cost. And we know there's a time to come apart and rest, but are we giving blood, sweat, and tears for the sake of the gospel because the people around us are dear unto us? That's Paul's heart. And I want to have that heart as a dad too. And Joanna and I, we fell in this, but we want to grow in this. We certainly want to labor and travail. because it's the right thing to do, but because our children are precious unto us and we want them to be able to succeed. But I just want to encourage you, even young people, as I said, be thankful. And may we all be thankful. I need to call my mom today. Amen. And say, Mama, once again, I just want to thank you. I don't thank her enough. I really don't. I wish I had my dad here to thank him again, but Dad's in heaven. I wish I had him here today to just say, thank you, Dad, thank you. Thank you for putting up with a lot of my junk. A dedication. But then, I want us to see number five here, a godliness. We see many of those attributes that we gave here, gentleness, affection, sacrifice, and dedication, are certainly in a mother's heart towards a newborn babe, an infant, a child. It's true. But also he gives here the parental metaphor of, you could say, a paternal metaphor, and that's the father begins here in verse 11. He talks about example, which they both apply to the mother and father, of course, in their role in leading and serving. But notice verse 11. I mean, verse 10, he says, and ye are witnesses. That means you saw this and God sees us. God sees it, of course. He knows how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. Again, this is given a contrast because those wolves in sheep's clothing, they did not behave that way. You would find them in the temples where there was prostitution. You would find them teaching lies and trying to take advantage of the people. You would find them involved with the things that were in the world. But Paul's like, that was not us, and you know it. And he's saying, we sought to be a good testimony. And we sought to be faithful. And that's where we see here, the number five, the example of godliness. Church, something I've learned more and more as a parent and as a pastor, but even as a Christian. And I want you to say this with me after I say it. Example is essential. Say it with me. Example is essential. One more time. Example is essential. We cannot lead people in the Christian life without being an example. And no, Paul, I believe with all my heart, nobody, he was not saying here that he was perfect. But what I believe he was saying is here, as you know, church, I was doing everything I could to be right with God. And that's the Spirit. That's what he's talking about. Just that idea of, because, and we're going to notice here in verse 6, he was able to, in verse 11, he's going to be able to talk about how he spoke with them. But the truth of the matter is, we cannot speak the gospel until we are first living the gospel. You will speak the gospel with boldness when you're living the gospel. That's not sinless perfection, but that's living your life openly as a follower of Jesus. Holily. What does it mean to be holy? Well, the true definition of holy, get this, is to be different. The true definition of holy is to be set apart. And so for you and I to be able to be an effective witness for Christ, we got to be different. We got to be set apart unto God. It's set apart unto the gospel, unto Christ, unto God. And Paul was saying to this church here, you know, when I came in, I was set apart. There was no question about that with the people. He was set apart. Not only was he holy, but justly. He sought to be just and fair in his dealings, the way he carried himself, the way he looked at people and talked with people. He was just. And then notice that word there, unblameably. Now, it's interesting here. That's one of the actually qualifications of a pastor, to be to be unblameable. What does that mean? That, because I better take note of that when I know what that means. Well, I'll tell you what it means. It means this. It means that you are living your life in such a way where it does not put your motive and your character in question as representing the gospel. Does it mean you're perfect? Again, we're sinners saved by grace, and we're saints, but we have that tendency still to sin. But the fact of the matter is, your life is being represented, and when it says unblameable, is you are an individual who is seeking to be motivated by your love for Christ, your love for the Word of God, and your obedience to it. Just that is what your life is about. Is that what your life is about, friend? I hope it is. My cry this morning in hope to the Lord is that your desire is to be an example as you teach, as you lead your children, as you lead ministries in this church. I look across this room and I see current leaders and I see future leaders. I look across this room, I see current deacons, and I pray I see future deacons and future deacons' wives. I look across this room and I see people that I believe who are growing and desiring to serve Christ. And that's the way God wants it to be. We are all growing in grace, and we ought to be willing to be an example. But this is where I believe people get hung up. And it breaks my heart. I've seen it time and time again where people refuse to go into leadership because they know there's a higher accountability. And it's true. James talks about it. Much more is required of those that are in leadership. And when it comes to being in a leadership where, yes, there is the example is to be clear to the church and to the people. They're like, I'm just going to keep my sin and I'm just going to keep doing what I do. I'll do bare minimum and yeah, whatever. But getting into leadership and influence and impacting people for the gospel's sake, I can't do that. And that breaks my heart, brethren, because you're going to live your life in vain. And what you're doing is you're blowing soap bubbles up into the air, and they're just going to burst, and there's going to be nothing that you're going to count for Christ. And I just want to beg you from the depths of my heart, brother and sister, stop living your life with soap bubbles and dedicate your life to the cause of Christ, to the Word of the living God. If it means cutting off your hand or your foot, as Jesus said, if there's something keeping you from being all in, cut it off. Jesus said, cut it off. If your eye offend me, pluck it out. He said, how serious are you about serving me? And there's a lot of believers out there saying, not that serious. That's the point. Jesus wasn't talking about literally putting out your eyeballs and cutting off hands and feet. But he was saying very clearly, if it's keeping you from doing what I'm calling you to do, get rid of it. Take extreme measures. Paul was willing to do that. They saw it. They saw it in him. May God help us to have that same spirit. Tonight, I'd like to point your attention to verse 11. He says three things here: how we exhorted, how we comforted, and how we charged every one of you as a father doth his children. Notice why he did it. Don't miss this. That you would walk. Can you say the next three words with me? Worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. I feel like the Holy Spirit wants me to park right there and just have a good, sweet, non-rushed invitation. Where are you today? As we look at Paul's heart towards the Thessalonians, where is your heart? Where is your life? Are we all in dedicated here? Are we being gentle with one another? Are we being affectionate towards one another? What about your example today? Maybe God's spoken to you specifically about some leadership things in your life. Maybe parenting. I don't know. But I'm very humbled and under conviction when I think of these principles as a parent, as a pastor, and as a Christian. I felt like I've gotten right with God several times just in the study for this message. And I feel like I still got business to do with the Lord. So my encouragement to you this morning is, let's just be real. Let's look and say, God, look at my heart. Where am I? Examine me. What is my heart towards my children? What is my heart towards my spouse and those I minister to? What about towards my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ? Let's be near to one another. Gentle. Gentle. Let's pray for breakthroughs this morning. I'm too harsh in many of my ways. And you fill in the blank for you. Let's let the Holy Spirit have His way this morning. God's working. And the only way that this church is going to make progress is for you and for me to be honest. And to say, God, I need your help in this. Because we are ambassadors. And we are royal children. And we want to live a life that's becoming of Jesus Christ. Would you pray with me?